What are we supposed to learn from this miracle? Says the Gemara the following. V'chi Elisha ochel bikurim haya. The Gemara says, was Elisha one who ate bikurim? El alom alacha. Of course it wasn't bikurim. So why is the term bikurim used? El alom alacha, in order to tell you, kol amei bidot on the Talmud Chacham, ki ilu makriv bikurim. Whoever brings a gift to a Talmud Chacham, it's like he is sacrificing bikurim, bringing bikurim upon the Mizbeach. V'amar Rav Barachya. Rav Barachya said, somebody wants to bring wine, libation on the Mizbeach, but I can't do it. There's no Beis HaMikdash, there's no Mizbeach. What are we going to do today? So he said, he should give wine for the throats of Talmidei Chachamim. What it really means is the following. In the Beis HaMikdash, the food that was brought, much of it was brought upon the Mizbeach. It was the act of bringing something before God. What really happened over there is the Gemara says, what was the halacha by korbanos, korban chatas, for example, a sin offering? Kohanim ochlim, ubalim mitkaprim, the kohanim eat, and the person who brought the korban receives atonement for his sin. What does this mean? What is the halacha? What is the halacha telling us? What the halacha is telling us is Mizbeach, the Beis HaMikdash, represents man's yearning and longing for God. In order to enter into a relationship with God. That relationship with God is brought through Karban. But Chazal go one step further and they tell us the following. What they're really telling us is that all of Torah takes the mundane, the everyday. What was it the Yazidah said? Essen is Agoyish Arbit. So I'm going to say, Essen is Agoyish Arbit, then Agoy Est. Or then Ayid Est is the Yiddish Arbit, it is Halakh Arbit. The purpose of Torah, and this is where Torah differed from all other religions. Torah differed from all others by saying that I'm able to take the mundane, the everyday, the simple biological needs and functions of man and endow them and grace them with sanctity and holiness. Bringing bread before a Talmud Chacham is like bringing bread upon the Mizbeach. The everyday, the absolutely mundane, is endowed and graced with sanctity. There is no simple thing as far as Torah is concerned. Everything that is seemingly simple can be raised to a level of great sanctity. That's exactly what is happening over here. The Rebbeinu gives the bracha, and therefore this becomes something that is holy. And if it's holy, then they're all going to be able to eat from it. Both took place at a time of famine, right?
The significance in the fact that food,
ra'ah,
that this was maybe.
Idea. I have no idea. Nobody told us how much kemach there was. It could have been no more than a few grains of kemach.
Maybe that's what
the
Elisha wanted.
Yes, but that's also fine. In other words, the little kemach, just as you had quoted earlier, next week said Moshe Rabbeinu, God is going to tell Moshe Rabbeinu to take a bitter stick and put it into the waters, and the bitter stick is going to sweeten the waters. You'd appreciate knowing what is the Navi doing for the Am. You know what I would suggest? Saglanot. Remember, of course, when three armies were out in the Edomian and Moabian desert, and there's no water, who brings water for them all? Who is the one who brings water? Elisha. Don't worry. Trust. Watch. Wait.
But the Navi has to be there to do it.
Wait. You know, I came here this morning with a purpose in mind. My purpose in mind was, I'm going to move over here. You understand? We have to cover ground. And you have to get a broader view of things. I spent 2 weeks on chapter Daled. Chapter 5. The Naaman. What's the vav of the Naaman? What's the vav of the Naaman? The Das Mikra says, V'havav shel the Naaman l'ptichat ha-parsha. Nearly every place where there's a vav, a number of places, that mikra will say that this vav has additional meaning. Otherwise, vav is petichat ha-parsha. By the way, look in Torah and you'll find the same thing. There is right now going to be a moratorium on questions until such time that I permit such questions. Right now, we're reading. The Naaman starts for Melech Aram. Ha-yo-ish gadol lifnei Adonav in the supanim. Naaman, who was the commander-in-chief of the forces of Aram, was a great man before his master. We don't know which king of Aram it was. It seems it's not important to us to know which king of Aram. But Naaman was the commander-in-chief. He was a great man before his master. Unesu panim. Nesu panim is a term in Tanakh which means a respected person, a person whose face is raised. There can also be a negative aspect to nesu panim. It could also mean somebody who walks with his head up in the air. There is an air of conceit and arrogance about him. Huh? Haughtiness. Haughtiness. That's going to be terribly important about this fellow Naaman. Kibo, Matan Hashem Chual Aram. Through him, God gave great salvation to Aram. Do you know what Naaman's claim to fame was? He was the one who shot the arrow that killed Ahab. By the way, he wasn't aiming for Ahab. You know what the pasuk is saying? It's God who took his arrow and shot his arrow into Ahab. So what's he walking around now? He most probably gets the Congressional Medal of Honor because he did something great for the people, but the pasuk has told us clearly, God used him. He was a vehicle. He was a means that God used in order to bring great salvation to Aram. Vo'ish ha'yav gibachayil, the man was. He was indeed. He did have some internal greatness. He was gibachayil, but he was also matzara. He was also a leper. Most probably by the time we get through this parak, we're going to have some kind of an indication what leprosy was. In other words, the great question, it's not really a question anymore, but certainly the Mefarshim dealt with it. The Torah talks about leprosy. There are two parshiyot, Tazriya and Mitzora. A person who sees some kind of a blemish in his skin, a change of color, it can be white, it can be red, different shades of white, green, is supposed to come to the Kohen, and the Kohen is supposed to look at it. Under certain circumstances, the Kohen is able to say that it's okay, it's fine. Other circumstances, the Kohen says that a person has to be locked up for a week, and in quarantine for a week, we'll take a look at it at the end of the week. At the end of the first week, it's possible that he may have to be quarantined for another week. And by the end of 2 weeks, if it hasn't changed, or if there are different kinds of changes, if it got smaller, then it's far, if it got bigger, it's tummy. If there's a clean or a healthy piece of flesh in middle of the tzaraat, it becomes tummy. Then if a person is tummy with tzaraat, he's supposed to remain outside of the city until such time that he's healed, and then the whole series of karbanot that he's supposed to bring afterwards. So just remember, keep this in mind. The man is a mitzvah, and the big question was it's not really a question anymore. Is leprosy? Is mitzora, is tzorat. Most probably using the word leprosy is already bad because I'm giving it a name that is known to medicine. Was tzorat a physical ailment or was tzorat a spiritual one? Is this something that God punishes man with, or is this some kind of communicable disease and therefore a person is supposed to be put into quarantine outside of the camp? The answer is clear to anybody who learns the Parsha and Torah, but it's certainly going to become clear over here in the Haftarah. He's not a Jew. Not only he's not a Jew, I'm not taking that as a question. He's not a Jew, not only it's a statement. The fact is that the Mishnah tells us and the Halacha says that there is no tzarad by a gun. By the way, not only is there no tzarat, a din tzarat by a guy, there is no din tzarat outside of Eretz Yisrael.
The delegation.
Yeah, the delegation. Mission accomplished. All right, don't aggravate me. It doesn't apply to a guy. It doesn't apply in Chutz Laretz. I was going to say something else, and no, not you, them. Them. Varum, all right. Watch. Varum, wait. Yeah, I remember the third thing I wanted to say. In the parasha, you have to bring a person to a Kohen. There's no such thing as bringing somebody before a Navi. Everything here is different, but it will still tell us what Tzarat is all about. The same term Tzarat that was used in Torah is used here by Avraham Yotzu Gedudim. You gotta watch, it's so beautiful what's gonna happen here. It was a period of peace between Israel and Aram. They were usually fighting with one another, but this was a period of peace. Was it a warm peace or a cold peace? It was a cold peace, because at the same time that there is no open war, but there are marauding gangs that would infiltrate into Eretz Israel and steal and rob and kill. But it was a war, it was a cold peace. Avraham Yotzu Gedudim, Avraham went out in marauding gangs by Yishbu Me Eretz Israel. By the way, one of the few places in Tanakh where Eretz Israel is called Eretz Israel. They captured from Eretz Israel Na'ara Ketana, a small girl. By the way, Na'ara Ketana is a contradiction in terms. Ketana means a girl up until the age of 12. Na'ara means a girl who is already past the age of 12. So the Mefarshim explained that when she was captured, she was Ketana, but in captivity she had grown older and she is now a Na'ara. Vatihi lifnei eshet Naaman, and she was before the wife of Naaman. She was a servant, a maid servant before the wife of Naaman. Vatomed el givirto, so she said to her mistress, Achalei Adoni. Achalei over here comes from the word by Yechal Moshe, pray. Let my master pray, or let him ask. Lifnei hanavi asher v'shamron, before the Navi, the prophet who was in Shamron. Oz yeh sofato mitzarato. The Navi in Shamron is the one who will gather him in from his tzarat. The term yeh sof is used to express the idea of being healed, because the Mitzorah is supposed to be outside of the camp, in quarantine, separated from everybody. Over here, he will bring him back into the community from his Torah. You understand? Here's a little girl. One thing which is going to become very clear. This fellow Naaman has tried every kind of medicine. Every kind of alternative medicine. In addition to conventional medicine. Not only has he used alternative medicine, he has used voodoo and alternative voodoo. He has used black magic and homeopathic black magic. He's used it all. And here's a little megala. As a little megala from Eretz Yisrael says, there's a Navi in Shavuot. He'll take care of it. Vayavo. What's amazing is, obviously, we assume that his wife told him, and he comes and he tells his master, saying, such and such was said by the Na'ara from Eretz Yisrael. You see that she's a Na'ara, because now she's not called Na'ara Ketan anymore. Now, if you understand, there can be one of two ways in which we can look at this. They're taking what she says very, very seriously. One way of looking at it is, listen, he's tried everything, and nothing has helped. So let's try this. I'm not sure if that's the correct approach. The approach may very well be a medala from Eretz Yisrael. This medala sort of, she, was it her innocence? Maybe the bright eigalach? She left the impression that this is a sure thing. This is a sure thing. She knows that there's a Navi in Shomro. And there's no doubt about it that he's going to healed him from his Torah. Vayomer Melech Aram. So Melech Aram says to Naaman, Lech, go, bow and come. Ve'eshlecha sefer Melech Yisrael. I'm going to send a letter to the king of Israel. Vayelech, he went. Vayikar b'yodon, and he took in his hands. When we said about Naaman that he was a great man, do you know what his greatness really was comprised of? He was very wealthy. He's taking, along with himself, gifts to be given to the Melech, to the Navi. It's a lot of money. 10 kikar over here is a loaf of silver. Its weight was supposed to have been 3,000 shekel. We're talking about, trust me, it was a lot of money. The 6,000 zahav and 10,000 coins of gold. The 10 chalifot begadim and 10 changes of clothing. by changes of clothing, remember this, Yosef also gave to Binyamin. Changes of clothing means an entire wardrobe. Now, a change of clothing doesn't mean a suit. It means a suit with a shirt, with underwear, ties, shoes, overcoat, hat, everything. Vayodei HaSefer.
Huh?
Who
had
the story?
Naaman?
The whole pasuk, the first pasuk, is talking about Naaman, Sar Tzvah Melech Aram. He was a great man, and he had Tzara. The king of Aram, and he has to get permission to go. He has to receive permission to go. Not only receive permission to go, he wants from some protector, and the protector is a letter from the king. It means, obviously, that they are communicating with one another. So therefore, that's an indication that there's peace. And the sefer was brought to them, the letter was brought to the king of Israel, saying, these are already the words of the sefer, the words of the letter. When this letter arrives unto you, I've sent my servant Naaman, two words, heal him from his tzarat. When the king of Israel read the letter, now, of course, you see the beauty of Tanakh, Vayikra. He tore his garments. Vayikra begadav. He tore his garments. He read it and he tore his garments. Vayomer. He said, Ha Elokim ani lahamitul achyot, am I a God who brings death and life? Ki ze sholeach elai. Zeh? Do we know what zeh means? What do you think his relationship is with the king of Aram? Could we say that this is a very cordial and a warm relationship? Or he has absolutely no use? More than that, it sends to me, lesof ish mitzaratot, that I should heal a man from his tzarat. Ki agdu no ru'u. Here already he's making the statement to his cabinet. I want you to know and see, ki mit anehu li. He's looking for a complaint against me. He wants to start a war. And so you see already how warm the relationship is. He wants to start a war. What he's looking for is an excuse. And there are other words that I use. You know, the match that lights or... Alright, there must be another word.
The
straw that breaks the camel's back. Alright, he's looking for an excuse to start a... Catalyst is too good of a word. The spark. No, there's, you know, in all the history books, I mean, was a kid, you know, the assassination of the Archduke. Not the catalyst.
The trigger.
What did you say? You said trigger?
Trigger.
All right, trigger is good, but there's still another word that I'm looking for. Some of the middle of the night, I'll wake up, Eureka. I know what the word. Huh? Now,
let me know when I can answer.
Yeah, didn't I promise that before? And it came to pass, Kishmora Elisha, Ishu Lekim and Elisha, the man of God heard. By the way, in the last two stories, at the end of chapter Dalet, he was only referred to as Ishu Lekim. He wasn't referred to by his name Elisha. I think he's referred to now as Elisha, Ishu Lekim, because of all things, a little girl who was taken captive and is now in Damascus someplace knows of him. And the king of Israel, who is in Shomron, doesn't know who's in Shomron. That little girl knows that Elisha's in Shomron, but he doesn't know it. When Elisha, the man of God, heard Kikar HaMelech Yisrael, the daughter that the king of Israel had torn his garments, by Yishlach HaMelech Lema, he sent a message to the king saying, Lama karato v'gadecha, paltashchis, why did you destroy, why did you tear your garments? Yavol no'elai, let him come to me. V'yeda, let him know, ki yesh navi v'Yisrael, that there is a navi in Israel. By Avon Naaman, watch the description over there. Naaman came with his horses and his chariots, Vayamot Petach HaBayit LeElisha, and he stood in front of the house of Elisha. Vayishlach Elav Elisha, Malach, Lema, and Elisha sent a messenger to him, so saying. There's been no communication between Naaman and Elisha. We're going to see later what Naaman really expects. In other words, when he comes when he comes up to the house of the Navi, you know, like one of those police cars out there, Hatsida, Hatsida, you understand? He's coming with all of his pomp and power and circumstance, and he's standing out there in the in front of the Navi's house, and of course what he expects is that the Navi is going to come out in all humility, standing before the great man Naaman, His Highness, His Excellency, what can I do for you? That's not what happens. He gets a message. A messenger comes out of the house and says, "Hello, go and go wash yourself 7 times in the Yarden." What did she just say? Oh, I thought you said something else. What I thought to me, there are times of year that you can't even get yourself covered with water in the Yarden. But what happens if it was the time, Pesach time, as the story previously said? The previous story was the first grains, Pesach time. Pesach time, the Yarden is full.
But they would be wrong if there was no rain.
I don't know, it didn't say that there was no rain. There can be a rav without the... Let's say, even when there's a famine, even when there's no rain, but the Hermon still gets snow. And the snow comes down as it melts in the merry month of Nisan, and it fills up the Yarden.
Yeah, no, there's another thing. There could be tremendous rain,
yeah,
which beat down the grain, and which take the...
Also very excellent, excellent. You can have, she says she's right, you can have rain which is destructive. So there's a lot of water, but the rain has destroyed the crops in the field. Very good. Isn't that what's happening in the Midwest? Or, I don't know, someplace, somebody's getting destroyed. Vayishnach tells him, go wash yourself 7 times in the Yarden, and your flesh will return to you, and you will be purified. Vayikzof Naaman vayelech. Naaman got angry, and he left. Vayomer. He said to his servants, Hinei amarti, I had thought to myself, Eli Yotso Yetse Yotso. I thought to me he would come out. Isn't that an interesting way to say it? I would have said it Yotso Yetse Eli. But that's not how Naaman puts it. What the way he says it, do you know what you learn from the way he says it? The conceit. He's an egomaniac. Eli, to me, Yotso Yetse. This man is full of haughtiness. By the way, one of the things the Gemara says, one of the things for which Tzokas comes is Gasut HaRuach. Gasut HaRuach. A person who is puffed up about himself. And do you know what happens to him? He's going to have to stand humbly before the Kohen. He may very well have to be removed from society, banished, excommunicated, quarantined. And he's going to learn what it's like to be all alone. He will learn how to appreciate the company of other human beings. You're saying something. I'll tell you what you're saying. Because Melech Aram sees a king as being all powerful, all power vested in him. He doesn't go to anybody else. Just as Naaman, the Ish Gadol, Gibor Chayil, has to get permission from the king of Aram in order to go for healing to Shomron. Because everything comes through the king. So he assumes that in Israel it's also like that. He only knows I'm a Melech Yisrael. Don't tell me Nevi'im, Shmevi'im, means nothing. What he doesn't understand is that there's a man who stands above the king. And the man who stands above the king is the Navi. He doesn't realize that. Those are not the categories in which he works. Anyway, meanwhile, Naaman gets angry. And he went by Yom and he said, Hinei amarti. I had said to myself, Eli Yetzei Yotso, he would come out. You know what Naaman expected? Naaman expected that the man would come out, so first of all, the humility. And then he would look at him. He would use all sorts of magic mumbo jumbo. He would use the name of all sorts of gods and deities and divinities and all sorts of things. And you know, he would say, "Open sesame," something of that sort. I thought that he would come out. V'amad v'karav Hashem, Hashem al-Kavani, and call the name of God, his God. You know, whoever his God is. I tried them all. Why shouldn't I try this one? V'heinif yado el hamakom. And he would point his finger at the spot of the tzarat. V'asach ha-mitzorah. And he would gather in the mitzorah. Heal him. And then, what does he tell me to do? I should go into the yarden. Halo tova vono farpar naharod demesek mikol meimei Yisrael. Avona and Farpa, that are the rivers of Damesek, are better than all the waters of Israel. What kind of a putrid stream does he want? A poor excuse for a river, the Yarden. Halo erchaz b'hem, I will wash myself in them, the Taharti, and I will be Tahar. What he really means is, you know how many times I've washed myself already in Avona and Farpa, what the man didn't wash himself. Of course he washed himself. By Yifan, and he turned, by Yelech b'chema, and he went away in Chema. What's interesting is at the beginning of the pasuk, the first, the beginning of pasuk Aleph, the first, the beginning of his outburst, it says by Yiktsof, and the end is Chema. The difference between Yiktsof and Chema is Yiktsof is something that you is visible, is externally visible, like Ketzef. What's Ketzef? Froth. Ketzef can be, you know, the top of a cafe hafuch. That's good ketzef, foam, yeah? You know, it could also be, foaming at the mouth. That's what it means, he's foaming at the mouth. At the end already, he got it all out, so then he goes b'chema. What does chema always mean? Chema means, but it means an anger as brent inside. V'chamat amelech shokocha. I'm quoting from the Megillah, v'chamat amelech shokocha. The Chamato Barabo. Yes, in him. Chema, in other words, he got out the external anger, and what he remains is with the internal anger. He feels, he was boiling inside, he feels that he has been treated shabbily. By Yudavru Elav, by Yitzhua Father, by Yudavru Elav. You see? Haven't we pointed out so often in Torah, Vayigshu? What does Vayigshu Avodah? What does Vayigshu? Why couldn't you simply say Vayidabru Elav Avodah, Vayomru Elav Avodah? What's Vayigshu? Vayigshu always means like Vayigash Yehuda. When one has to internally brace himself for what he's going to say, because he understands that what he's going to say may very well fall on deaf, angry ears. So it says Vayigash Elav Yehuda. Yehuda's standing the whole time, he's in the middle of talking with Yosef. Vayigash Elav Yehuda means, all right, let's count to 10. Let's take a deep breath. Vayikshu, because they know that it's going to be difficult for him. Vayidabru Elav. And what they're preparing, of course, is to say words that he's going to take as harsh. Vayamru. And then when they finally expressed it, they couch it in such soft terms. Avi. Do you hear how they refer to Naaman? Most probably anybody who didn't refer to him as Avi was beheaded at dawn. Avi, my father, Tovar Gadol Hanavi Diber Elecha Halotase. Would the Navi have told you some big thing to do? You would have done it if he would have told you who knows what kind of a regimen to go through. You would have done it. Kal v'chome v'af ki omar elecha rechatsu tahor. All he told you was wash yourself and you be clean. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Why are you being a big nar? What do you have to lose? So do it! You tried every other shtick in the world! So why not do this? Rechatsu Tahar, by the way, is a term that appears in the Sedra when it talks about the Mitzorah who's supposed to wash himself, except, of course, as everything in the parasha is different than what in the Haftorah, the Rechatsu Tahar of the parasha is after the Tzarat is gone, then the Mitzorah goes to the mikveh. Over here it's going to be the opposite way around. He's going to go wash himself, and the washing is going to make him tar. Vayeded, and he went down, Vayitwal, Vayardin, and he immersed himself in the Yardin. The word Vayeded is the most important word in the parak. He went off his high horse, off his chariot. Vayeded Yehuda Me'it Echav, and throughout, the Gemara and the Rambam always say that when a person goes to the mikveh, yored v'tovel, olev v'sofeg, going down into the mikveh means the idea that haughtiness, pride, all disappears. The very fact that he's listening to his servants, the very fact that after this outburst against the Navi, he finally agrees to do it. By the way, he was the kind of fella that would have lahachis. He would cut off his nose to spite his face. I'm not going to do what this fella. He hasn't treated me well. Well, you know what Naaman does? There's most probably a tremendous struggle going on in Naaman. Vayeded, he went down. Vayitvol bayarden shev upon him, and he immersed himself in the Yarden 7 times. And you see the point of the Vayeded, that a dramatic change is taking place in the personality of Naaman. Kidvar ish ha'elokim. He did as the words of the ish ha'elokim. He decided that he was going to follow his words. And his flesh became like the flesh of a young boy, and he was cleansed. And he returned to the men of God, he and his entire camp. When he came, and again, and he stood before him. It didn't say Vayamod Lefonov before. Before it said Vayamod Petach Habayit, he stood. Here it's Vayamod Lefonov. He stands humbly in the presence of the Navi. Vayomin, he said, Hineno Yodati, behold, I know. Ki ein elo him bechol haaretz, there is no God, the whole world. Ki im b'Yisrael, only in Israel. You understand what has taken place, what has happened to Naaman. Vata now, kach na bracha me'eit avdecha. Please take a gift. Bracha is... I'll have to say the meaning of the word bracha for next week. How does bracha mean a gift? But believe me, you have it by Yaakov saying to Esav, kach na es birchasi. Take my bracha. Eben Ezra says in a number of places in Tanakh, Eben Ezra says bracha means tosefet v'ribui, that which I add to what you have. And that will be by Avigail, I don't know. But let's by Yoma, we'll look it up at home. You'll help me prepare next week's year. By Yoma. By Yoma. So he said, Chai Hashem Asher Amadati Lefanov Mekach. The Navi said, I swear by God Asher Amadati Lefanov. Do you hear what the Navi is saying? It's so beautiful. What? How did it describe Naaman standing before the Navi? He stood before him. What the Navi wants to tell is, you're standing before me, but you should know I'm nothing. I stand before God. That God Asher Amadati Lefanov, I swore by him in Ekach, I will not take anything from you. And he importuned him that he should take Vayimoein, and he refused. So Naaman said, V'lo, if you don't want to take, let's give something to your servants. Masad, V'lo, if you don't want to take, what I want is that you should give me something. Give your servant Masad Zemed Peradim Adama. You know what the man wants? The man wants 2 mules, what 2 mules can carry, earth of Eretz Yisrael, holy earth of Eretz Yisrael. Because he plans now never to worship idols again. And therefore where he is, he wants to be able to worship the God of Israel, but he wants to worship the God of Israel on an altar that he has made from the earth of Eretz Yisrael. He may even build his own kotel up there in Damascus. But do you understand the dramatic change that has been taking place over here? Not only does he see the man of God as holy, not only that the God of Israel is the greatest of all gods, he knows that the water of Eretz Yisrael is holy, he knows that the land of Eretz Yisrael is holy. Your servant is never again going to bring either an ola offering or a zevach to any other gods. Ki im Hashem, only to the God of Israel. But he says, this thing you're going to have to forgive your servant. When my master, the king, comes into the house of his idol, I'm the one that's always by his right hand side, to, you know, when the Shliach Tzibur goes down Kodim on Rosh Hashanah, there are usually two people there who help him up. The one who helps the king down and up is me. So I'm going to step into that house of idolatry. And I must probably go down on the ground before that idol, but I'm telling you in advance, it's garnished, it's all shown. So you'll have to forgive your servant. When my master comes to Beit Rimon, to bow down there, and he leans on my hand. I will bow down in Beit Rimon, and when I bow down there in the house of Rimon, that was their idol. Yismach, let your God forgive your servant in this thing. Yet this pasuk is a very fascinating pasuk. He repeats things. He seems to be mumbling and jumbling from one thing to the next. It's an extremely difficult pasuk for him to come out. You'll even notice that the end of the pasuk is a repetition of the beginning of the pasuk. Nachamol forgive and Nachamol forgive. He's going to come, he's going to bow, I'm going to bow. Bow, shmau, bow, wow. It has nothing, it doesn't mean anything. You know, because he knows already that there is only one God. And all of Beit Rimon, the Rimon Inn, is nothing. It's nothing, nothing, nothing. So he feels, you know, you get in the confusion in the pasuk, you know what, you really get a feeling of what's going on inside his neshama.
And he calls himself a servant.
Yes. You know, I didn't even notice that. Shkoyach. He has finally gone all the way. You're absolutely right. How did I overlook it? That's why I need students. Twice he refers to himself as Avdecha, your servant. Can you imagine this conceited oath has conceded that he is nothing more than a servant before the Navi. Vayomalo, the Navi said to him, Leich l'shalom, go in peace. Now, I'm going to have to deal with this next week too. Does the Leich l'shalom mean that he has granted him license to do what he wants to do? Or does the Leich l'shalom mean it's a diplomatic way of saying, I'm not telling you yes, and I'm not telling you no? There are going to be different approaches. It seems... that's a different story. We'll talk about it. Vayelech mi'iton, he went from him, Kivrat Eretz, about a mile. I'm just going to run through the next few psukim and say, I'll be ready for next week. You have nothing to say now, please. Vayomer, Gehazi, Nar Elisha, Ishulakim, Gehazi, the Nar of Elisha, Ishulakim, said, Hinecha, Sacha, Doniat, Naman, Arami, Azeh, my master has saved this Arami, Naman, Hazeh, you know? Mikachas, Miyodah, Hashem, Hevi, from taking from his hand that which he brought, Chai Hashem, I swear. Everybody's swearing around this place. Chai Hashem, Ki imrats the Abraham, I'm going to run after him, I'm going to take something from him. Gehazi ran after Naaman, and Naaman saw Ratzach Rav, somebody running after him. And he came quickly down. It doesn't really mean he fell. It means he quickly came down from the chariot. His body, that's also good. That's also good. His haughtiness is over. He falls from the chariot. Vayomer, he said, Shalom, is everything okay? Vayomer, he said, Shalom. Adoni shalachani leimor, my master sent me to say, Hinei ato zeh bo elai. Now, there come to me two boys, Mehar Ephraim, Ibnei Anabim, from the sons of the prophets. T'non olahem kikar gezer. In other words, when my master said to you that he doesn't want anything because there was no need, but now, in the interim, in the last little while, two Ibnei Anabim came in, and they need something. Give them a kikar gezer, v'shtei chalifot begadim, and two changes of clothing. Vayomer Naaman. Naaman said, Hoel, if only you will, kach kikrayim, take two loaves of silver. And he importuned him. He covered the two kikars of kesef, the two loaves of silver, b'shnei charitim, in two like garments or bags. He gave it to his two boys. They carried before him. That means even Gehazi has boys. These are the boys, or it could be that it's the boys of Naaman who are bringing it. And he came to the Ophel. Yeah, here it seems that it's Naaman's boys. The Ophel is the wall of the city. the wall of the city. He doesn't want to come into the city with Naaman's boys. So what he does is he takes it from them. He put it away in the house. He sent them away. They went. He came. And he stood. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that strange? Everybody else has been omeid lefnei. Vayamod el represents some kind of confrontation that is in the offing. Vayomer elav Elisha. Elisha said to him, "Ayin gechazi, from whither comes gechazi?" Vayomer, "Lo halach avdecha ona v'ona. I didn't go any place. What are you talking about?" It's awesome. How does Gehazi, who has been so close to Elisha, how does he think he can lie to Elisha? How does he think he can get away with it? Money. Gehazi, isn't it frightening that a person can be in the presence of an Elisha and remain a Gehazi? It's frightening. There's a lot to talk about. I didn't go any place. Vayomer Elav. So he said to him, Lo li bi halach. Didn't my heart, or either my heart didn't go, or what he really means is, didn't my heart go along and see what was happening? Kasher hafach ish me'almer kaftol nikratecha, when a man turned his face from the chariot toward you. Think I didn't see everything, every detail. I saw Naaman turning around. Ha'et, is now the time, lakachat at ha'kesef, is now the time to take the money, lakachat the gadim, to take garments. V'zeitim uchramim v'tzon u'baka, and it's now the time to take olives and vineyards and sheep and cattle, v'avodim u'shvachas, this is what, it was a lot of money. From here it's an indication that it's a lot of money. V'tzarat Naaman tidbak b'cho v'zaracha la'olam v'yetzei milifonot mitzarak ha'shalik. Let the tzarat Naaman come upon you and your children forever. Children too. I knew you were going to ask the question of children. So the Mepharshim say, only his children, not his children's children, because his children knew what he was doing, what he was going to do, and they didn't stop him. Vayetzei milufonov, and he went out milufonov mitzora kashalik, white like a. There's so much to say. The Mishnah in Sanhedrin says that one of the people that does not have a chelik, a share in the world to come, is Gehazi. At the same time, of course, that the Gemara is going to tell us that Elisha was too harsh with Gehazi. At the same time that the Gemara also says, just as Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya was too harsh with his student, whose name was Yeshua.
Oh, Yeshua. That brings me to something that I wanted to point out.
Yes.
You'll have to say, excuse me for my
yes.
knowledge of
yes.
the Christian Bible, but Lahavdil, all the miracles in chapter 4 of Elisha are repeated by the Goyim as if Yeshua did them.